Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn in a random office in the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Brett Dawson's on the other line in Oklahoma City. Sounds like he's scraping pans or something.
I'm sorry, I was pouring a drink of water.
The same thing.
Out of my my Brita pitcher here.
Shout out to Brita. Man, you're giving them a free... Plugs. Giving them a free plug. They need to. This needs to be the Brita Thunder Buddies podcast. That's what we need to do.
Give me some filters, Brita. I need some new filters.
Yeah, send me a jug because I don't have one. Final score tonight: Thunder loses to the Lakers for the second time this week, 106-81. You kind of felt like this one was gonna get away from the Thunder because, first of all, no Russell Westbrook. No Carmelo Anthony. Those two guys both had ankle sprains. And the Thunder's offense looked like a sprained ankle. Just basically, you know, something you can walk on it. And the walking on it part would be Paul George. But then, you know, you're only making it worse. You probably need to get some ice, some heat, elevation. And the Thunder just couldn't do that tonight. They didn't have the ice.
They had the ice. They didn't have any heat.
They didn't have any heat. They didn't have any Russell Westbrook. They didn't have any Carmelo Anthony. And that was a big problem.
Yeah, they looked real bad offensively. And look, you could have sort of predicted how this was going to go because you have a team that's shorthanded, obviously. The Lakers are also shorthanded, to be fair. I don't want to take anything away from the Lakers. They traded out a couple of guys, and Lonzo Ball is hurt, obviously, so they're without some guys. But because the Lakers are shorthanded, I think probably a little less sort of locked in team. You're coming off a win against the Warriors. You're in LA where things happen sometimes.
LA things.
LA things happen. It's not a shocking result to me. The sheer margin of it is surprising. And I thought, you know, the difference in effort was clear. The Lakers were just more into the game after a certain point. But the end result, the fact they lost to the Lakers, is not totally shocking given the circumstances.
Yeah, it was one of those games where the Thunder's offense never had any flow outside of maybe the first 4 or 5 minutes. Paul George was incredible.
He was just making shots. That was the thing. Paul George made shots.
Yeah, they actually moved the ball for the first couple of possessions. And there were some few possessions sprinkled in the game where the ball movement was crisp. It's just that Paul George was the only one really making shots off of that ball movement. Everybody else missed. They shot 35% from the field, 23% from three. I think Paul George had 5 of their 6 three-pointers. They just weren't good offensively. And, you know, I wrote about it for my game story. Just, you know, we've written about this before. We've talked about this before. When Paul George comes to L.A., it is a homecoming like no other. The Lakers are so starred for that star player that whenever Paul George comes out here, his parents are courtside, and I need to get to the bottom of this, but I don't know if it's a Lakers thing. I don't know if it's a his agent thing, but the parents are courtside. And I don't know if you saw this last time, Brett, but Paul George's dad is a celebrity.
Yeah, The only thing I really saw, he was not seated. It sounded like tonight he was seated in a place where you could really see him.
He was right in front of me.
So we did not have that the last time. They were actually, so you know where you sit. For people who don't know, we kind of sit in a corner at the Staples Center. You're at floor level, but you're kind of like in sort of along the baseline in a corner. And on the in the first games, the trip that I went to LA, the game they blew out the Lakers, Paul's parents were on the sideline. And they were down, 5 sections from us. So we could see that they were there, but we could not really see any interactions other than when Paul went over and said something to his dad after he made a shot.
Yeah, well, tonight was different. They were in a corner where we typically sit as the media. They were in the far corner of the baseline, sitting baseline. And they showed up a little bit after George got off to that really hot start in the first quarter. They showed up a little bit after that. And it was pretty awesome just kind of watching how much of a celebrity Paul George's dad is. And I don't know if this is intentional by the Lakers. I wouldn't put it past Magic Johnson. He is the king of tampering, apparently. Yes. He's going for the tampering NBA championship this year. He also got hit up again this week for tampering. Or who is he tampering with this week?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
He talked about, and by the way, for people who were watching on TNT tonight, I know how to pronounce Antetokounmpo. Most of you probably do too. It is a little embarrassing that Shaquille O'Neal does not. It is not funny.
No, it's not. When you're that great of a player, you just need to, and you're one of the, you know, inside the NBA guys, you got to figure it out. Anyway, Paul George's parents are sitting baseline. Jimmy Iovine, the record mogul producer, beats inventor with Dr. Dre, is sitting like in the corner right next to Paul George's dad. Like, all of this stuff just seemed very staged to me. It was very staged because there were like literal celebrities coming up to Paul George's dad, hugging him, posing for pictures. And it just seemed like everybody knew. And look, there's another thing. Paul George's mom and dad were wearing Paul George All-Star jerseys. They kind of stood
right.
up. But at right. the same time, there were like just random folk just coming up to them during stoppages and at the end of the game and posing for pictures. And, you know, maybe Paul George's dad is just well-known at the Staples Center. I'm not sure. Maybe the last time they came there, Paul George's dad got his 15 minutes because he was on TV a bunch and Paul greeted him courtside, and now everybody knows who Paul George's dad is. But it seemed a little eerie to me that they basically get the red carpet rolled out for him every time they come to Staples Center.
Yeah, that's a little interesting. It feels a little like college recruiting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like the way you treat the parents on the official visits and you wine and dine the parents almost as much as you do the kid, except that technically they are not supposed to be wining and dining Paul George at this point.
Yeah. It's fascinating. It's nothing but it. But it was interesting to see kind of the interactions there in front of me. And, you know, in post game, Paul George was asked by some of the local media about the chant that broke out in the fourth quarter. There was a "We want George, we want Paul" chant that broke out in the fourth.
Yep.
And Paul claimed he didn't hear it. And he just kept saying, "I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it." I don't know if he heard it or not. He might have been thinking about going out for all we know. He might be like, "Man, I'm trying to get out of here and get a drink or something." Because
they are spending the night in Los Angeles.
They are spending the night in Los Angeles. Libations.
Standard operating procedure in the NBA when you don't have a game the next day.
Yes.
You spend the night in LA because that makes your players happy.
But just a weird scene with all the Paul George adulation. Especially on the day where the Lakers clear up all this cap space with the moves they're making, and they plan to clear up more with the trade with the Cavs and the Lakers clearing up the space to go get potentially two max free agents, Paul George being probably priority number one since he's the California guy and he loves the Lakers and whatnot.
Yeah, I think they're basically down to now like stretch Luol Deng and let Julius Randle walk. And they have their max. They have their two max deals, I believe. Those are the two moves they would still need to make, and they have control over those moves, so they can basically get there now, I believe. And by the way, wherever Julius Randle goes, he'll probably kill the Thunder.
Yeah, Julius Randle eats against the Thunder. I thought it might actually be a good thing that Melo didn't play tonight at first because I was like, "Oh,
didn't matter."
Julius Randle just destroys Melo.
Yeah,
did not matter.
Doesn't matter. Destroys Patrick Patterson, destroys Dakari Johnson, destroys Nick Collison. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know, the decision to start Raymond Felton and Patrick Patterson, I mean, Raymond Felton's a no-brainer. Patterson, you could have debated whether or not you wanted to put Grant in that role or Patterson. I didn't think Patterson was particularly bad to start. He just couldn't make a shot. And we're back. I got cut off on the Thunder Buddies podcast. I don't remember what the last thing I said was, but
we talked about Raymond Felton not being able to start the second quarter. And that's notable because that meant point guard Alex Abrines.
Point guard Alex Abrines. It was it was clunky, to say the least.
Yes.
Thunder didn't score for about 4.5 minutes into the fourth quarter. They only trailed by three, not the fourth quarter, the second quarter. They only trailed by three in that second quarter. And then, you know, by the time Steven Adams scores, they're you know, the Lakers are able to expand that lead. And from there, the Thunder just really didn't have much going on.
Nope, not much happening. You know, you got a little bit of a look at Daniel Hamilton. That was whatever. You know, there wasn't a whole lot happening there, but it was interesting to see him. Other than that, there just wasn't a whole lot to look at. The I will say, I think they ran the – I wish I could think of the exact word I want to use for this. Speaking of Abrines at point guard, they had a third or fourth quarter play, probably fourth, with Abrines at point guard and Nick Collison, and they ran a pick and roll. And it's the clunkiest pick and roll I think I might have ever seen in my life.
It took so long for it to happen because there was ball bobbling and there was indecision. Yeah. Well, just so much going on in that play, and it worked because Collison scored. Didn't he score? Yeah, he scored.
I don't remember if he scored. He might have.
I think he scored and got fouled, and he missed the free throw or something like.
Oh, he might have gotten fouled and missed both free throws. He did have a trip where he missed two free throws.
But regardless of the outcome, it was just a microcosm of the night because nothing was easy for the Thunder besides Paul George just doing some incredible things in the beginning of that first quarter. You know, he led the Thunder in every category tonight, either tied for the lead or led them in every category. 29 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 6 turnovers. So basically, it was just Paul George, Jeremy Grant post-ups, and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, he had the great start. He had a play that I think will be on the Paul George season highlight film, which is that he twisted up KCP so hard that it wasn't even like an ankle break. It was like KCP, like Caldwell Pope's legs crossed each other together.
They quit. It's like his body just
sort
quit.
Of like, yeah, they sort of like tied into a knot. It was like he had the bends. And then Paul George goes by him and throws the lob to Stephen Adams. It was really one of the nicest plays they ran, and there was not a lot of competition for it, particularly in the second half.
Yeah, that second half was an advantage for me because I got to basically just start writing my story.
Yeah, that's
true. I was ready to get out of there by the third quarter because I was like, okay, this is clearly – once Daniel Hamilton came in, like, third quarter, I was like, yeah, Billy Donovan said that's enough of this nonsense.
PJ Dozier play or did I
PJ No. Actually, Brett, PJ Dozier did not play. That was Kevin Durant.
Oh. Wow. It seems like it would have gone better with Kevin Durant playing.
Yeah, well, he came in a little late and he made his first bucket. So we don't really have a good gauge of the Kevin Durant's return to Oklahoma City. But in all seriousness, PJ Dozier got in a little bit at the end. He's a Thunder's two-way guy that's playing. He's played all of his games for the Blue this year, and he's had a solid rookie season for the Blue. But you know, with the injuries, PJ Dozier was able to be active tonight. You know, he's traveled with the team a couple of times this season.
Yeah,
and so is Daniel Hamilton. But you know, with Robertson being out and the Thunder having an extra roster spot, they're able to bring those guys along on road trips more often than they typically would be able to. And PJ Dozier got some – no, every Thunder player was active, and every Thunder player played tonight, even Kyle Singler.
Shout out to the Blue, Daniel Hamilton, PJ Dozier, Dakari Johnson, and Laker Alex Caruso all in that game tonight.
Yeah, that was like a Blue all-star game slash family reunion.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Who was your best Blue player tonight?
I'm gonna roll with Caruso. They cruised, but you know, Hamilton had a play. He had a play or two. He set up Nick Collison for a dunk.
Yeah, he dropped a nice dime. I was just bracing myself for the chucking. I was like, this guy's gonna shoot it every time he gets the ball. But he was judicious. He spread it around a little bit. I was proud of him in that regard. I think Daniel Hamilton's a prospect.
I was glad they played him. You know, I'm not advocating that he should have started or whatever, but in that second quarter, when you saw Abrines, it's like, yeah, maybe let's roll out with Daniel Hamilton a little bit. Because Abrines has been playing much better. He did not play a great game tonight, but he's not a point guard.
He was put in a tough position. And I heard him talking in the post game in the locker room. He was basically saying, like, he didn't know that Westbrook wasn't going to play. So it was kind of like, and none of those guys really knew Westbrook and Melo weren't going to play. It was kind of just a game time thing. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, let's adjust. So,
right.
I mean, to make Alex Abrines your primary facilitator in the second unit, that's a recipe for disaster, because the guy's trying hard enough to just stay on the floor as is, and to put extra responsibility in his hands is just, it's tough, man. That's not his position. So,
It's something I don't think he's literally ever done. I don't know that he's done it for a play before tonight. Like, he just, you know, you just don't do it. I would want to go back and see. He's probably run a pick and roll before in the NBA, but not many. I mean, it's not what he does.
No, not a ton of positives from tonight's game. I don't think that we expected necessarily a Golden State-esque performance, because the Thunder just has this propensity to just play down the teams consistently. But you knew it was going to be a downgrade in quality when Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony were out, and you see it. And one of the things I started to talk about earlier, but I got off track. I wrote about this for my game story is, you know, this kind of gave Paul George a taste of what it's like to not have Russell Westbrook on the floor. And, you know, that's something he's going to have to think about when it comes time to make his free agency decision. Like, he can talk about brotherhood, and he can talk about, you know, all these things that are great in terms of, you know, he, Russell Westbrook, and Carmelo Anthony getting along. But when it comes down to it, like, the basketball is important. Russell Westbrook can talk about the off-court stuff too, but the basketball is really important. And, you know, Paul George can have an opportunity to go any place he wants to, and if teams get the indication that he wants to go there, and teams are going to make they're going to try their best to make the space to make it happen. I don't know if that's going to be the Lakers. I don't know if that's going to be the Clippers. It seems like both of those teams are kind of configuring themselves to make a run at this guy, whether it's this summer or next. But, you know, your point guard and who you're playing with is important. And I think that what's been overblown throughout Russell Westbrook's career is that guys can't play with him, or guys can't maximize themselves with him. And I think that a game like the Golden State game just throws that out the window, man. Like, people can play with Russell Westbrook, and it's not to say that Paul George won't enjoy life with Lonzo Ball or whoever the Clippers wind up having as their point guard, but you got to think, if you're going to compete for championships, it's going to be tough to leave a guy like Russell Westbrook when you've seen what you can do with him over 50 some odd games.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because obviously, you know, Kevin Durant chose to leave and play somewhere else. But we also can say about Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant is a Hall of Famer, and his Hall of Fame candidacy was built here with Russell Westbrook. I mean, like, he was if he had, you know, for some terrible reason, been forced to retire instead of go to Golden State, he'd be in the Hall of Fame someday. And so, that candidacy for both those guys was built together. Great players can play with him and can thrive with him. And there's this weird sort of narrative about guys leaving and getting better that's not entirely accurate. You know, it's not the whole story. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting contrast when you look at the way he and Paul George played together against Golden State and how Paul George played without him tonight. You know, obviously, you would hope, if you're Paul George, whatever decision you make is going to be a better looking roster than the Thunder roster looked tonight, that you wouldn't have this kind of uphill climb wherever you go. But it is a good reminder, I think, for him of how well they can play together and what they can look like when they're at their best and what it can be like to not have another guy like that. And, you know, look, if LeBron James is going to L.A., then all bets are off. That's different. But if you're making that choice without another superstar, when it comes to the Lakers, it's something to think about.
Yep, and it's just so long until that has to happen, and so much can transpire in that time, and so many conversations are going to be had that I think it's unfair to make a determination now whether or not, you know, based on anything, whether it's the trade deadline, whether it's, you know, how Paul George plays without Russell Westbrook in one game, how Russell Westbrook plays without Paul George in one game. It's just too early to make any determinations about, you know, what Paul George is going to do or what is going to be the biggest influence on his decision, because I think we've heard over the course of the past few months, we've heard Paul George say a lot of things that are just agreeable. He just flat out says a lot of things that people, you know, media types, us, we ask him about, and they're the right things to say from a guy from his perspective. So
yeah, and he's also really good at saying them. Yeah. Like, it's not just that he says the right things. He puts it the right way. He's just good. He's got a certain kind of easy, you know, easygoing way about him. He's very charming. He's just something that fans love. You know, he's just good at that stuff. Paul George likes being liked. That's not like a knock on anybody. People
yeah,
like,
that's human.
You know,
that's human.
People generally
human
like
nature.
Being liked. Yeah. And so, yeah, like if you can say things that are going to make people like you, or, you know, not say things that could lead to a bunch of interpretation of your comments that people don't like. You know, if you can say things that are going to generally leave a positive impression on fans as opposed to the other way around, it's just way easier to do it that way.
Yep. We'll see, man. Thunder comes back home on Sunday against the Grizz. No reason why they shouldn't win that game as long as they have two healthy ankles.
True. You're going to have a well-rested Tyreke Evans.
Yeah.
Who sat all the way up to the deadline and didn't get traded.
But
that's sort of the theme of the deadline, guys not getting traded, except when it came to Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland traded everybody. The Lakers traded a lot of folks. And, you know, some of the guys we thought were going to go, the Avery Bradleys, the Marco Bellinellis, even a guy like Marcus Smart, nothing happened. But, you know, there's still going to be some activity in the next 3 weeks before March 1st with the buyout market. I don't know exactly how much, but it should be a situation where the Thunder can get at least one more guy since they have that open roster spot. You know, I don't think it's going to be a world changer because buyout guys typically aren't, but it right. can be somebody that can help them, give them some minutes.
They could find an extra big, or they could find a wing who's, you know, I mean, even if it's Tony Allen, it's somebody you could plug in for a couple of minutes, and that's I'm not saying they're going to go out and get Tony Allen. But, I mean, you know, there aren't, you know, there wasn't really a lot in the trade market that would, there was nothing, there was no single piece that would replace Andre Robertson, right? Like, Avery Bradley probably comes the closest. Yeah. But he doesn't give you everything. He gives you a little bit better offense, not quite as good a team defender. You know, there are some trades you could have made where you get a piece that's a nice sort of stopgap. But there weren't that many of them, and none of those guys really changed hands. And in the buyout market, those guys just don't really exist. I mean, there's not a Robertson replacement in the buyout market.
All right. No Robertson replacement. No replacement for the Thunder's offense tonight because Russell Westbrook was probably in the back eating potato chips or whatever. He doesn't eat potato chips. I'm sure he doesn't.
Peanut butter, just
dipping his entire hand into a jar of Skippy. It was what I imagine Russell Westbrook doing today. Speaking of which, LA is in absolute love with Russell Westbrook. He has his own court at UCLA, which I went to today, which is very pretty. And then,
yeah, that was not there yet. I mean, it was there, but they could not use it the last time they were there. We were over there, but they didn't get to actually be on the court. They were in some, frankly, not very impressive gym the last time.
Yeah, they used to do that kind of that community kind of gym on UCLA's campus where basically students and everybody else can go, and whenever they have whenever the NBA guys come in town over the summer and stuff, they play pickup in there. But this gym is specific to the UCLA men's basketball team, and it's fantastic. And Russell Westbrook was one of the donors. He gave the largest donation at the time in UCLA history from a former men's basketball player, and that's why he got his name on the court. So it was a pretty cool deal.
It cracked me up. The guys, you talked to guys today, Paul George joked about this, and I found it funny, but it is bizarre that it is an Under Armour program now.
Yeah.
And so Westbrook's name is all over this Under Armour sponsored product. Like UCLA basketball is an Under Armour sponsored product, and now Russell Westbrook's name is associated with the actual facility where they practice. It's very strange.
You know, one of those strange just static on this stupid podcast. So I'm gonna step away. I think we've got enough of this ridiculous loss. So let's pack it in. I'm done with LA at least until next week when I come back for All Star.
Yeah, and I know. It's bad that you're down in LA. You're gonna go right back like that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Oh well, part of the job. Thanks for joining us on the Thunder Buddies podcast. We will see you after Sunday's game against the Memphis Grizzlies. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Leave little notes. Anything you think will help us to uplift our spirits about the podcast world, stars, notes, whatever. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know you like the podcast, and we'll keep putting them out. And thanks for having us. Brett, you can go to sleep. All right. Thanks, y'all.